In particular, today I would like to do a trip report, basically. Since I just got back, I would like you to know what was going on and where I had been and what other places are like, so that you might appreciate things here a little bit more. Over in Matthew chapter 28, in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start with verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That command is the basis of what Christianity is about. The fact that we teach other people what being a Christian is, and who our Lord is. That we make disciples out of all nations. In Mark 16 is a parallel account of that. Mark 16, and starting with verse 15, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved shall be condemned." And out of our scripture reading also, in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and in verse 17 is where I would like to start reading. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." A lot of times we get satisfied. We get content. We kind of get stuck in a rut. And we forget about the fact that there's a world full of people that need the gospel. I had a chance to once again go to two places. Went to Bali and to Singapore. This time my wife got to join me. We saved up our pennies. And I like to show you what that's like. This, by the way, the background there is an intersection not too far from where we were staying at in Bali. Bali is, since most people don't know geography that well, Bali is an island. It's in the Indonesian island chain. It's way down here in the circle of red. This map makes the islands look like they're next to each other. You can't see one island from the other one. They're not that close. But it is just a small island right down here. It's 2,230 square miles of island. If you want to compare that to Nebraska, Nebraska is 77,000. This is only 2,000. Or in other words, maybe if you want to compare it to Douglas and Sarpy County, if you combine those two counties, we got almost 600 square miles here. And Bali's 2,200. The population on the island is 4.2 million people. It's got a density of about 1,880 people per square mile. There are 2 million people that live in Depenzar. The island itself, this is the layout of the island. Depenzar is the capital of Bali. This basically, this entire region from about here all the way down to the bottom of the island is just basically one solid city. It's kind of like Omaha, where you got all the suburbs just merged into one after the other. It's kind of hard to tell where the one starts and the others, other than if you're native. And I have no idea. Where we were staying is basically the area that's called Kuta. Though actually the province, the kind of like their counties. Kuta is the county that we were in. But Kuta is also the name of the town that we technically were in. Dipenzar has 2 million people in it. So it's quite a bit bigger, quite a bit more densely populated. The surrounding cities and Dipenzar are basically a tourist town. Almost everything is geared towards tourists. And the reason for it is from about up here all the way down to here is a solid beach. It's a gigantic beach, and so that's it's very, very popular with the tourists. So that's basically the layout of the town itself and people. The primary religion in Bali is Hindu. 85% of the island's population are Hindu worshippers. It was mostly because Bali was basically settled by people from India. So Hindu is the number one religion. 13% of the population is Muslim, and 1.5% describe themselves as being Christian in some form, shape, whatever. It's just the generic, you know, Christian type statement. So we're not talking about actual Christians, but, or as we would see them, but just in the general sense. And that's only 2% of the population. So in other words, running across somebody else who believes in Christ is actually kind of rare in Bali. Idols are everywhere. I mean, you cannot turn without looking and seeing an idol someplace. So it makes it interesting. Like, for instance, if you walk out the door, you have to watch your step because somebody has left a little box of whatever they use for worship right in front of the middle of the door. I guess I assume it's for protection of some sort, but these are these little flower boxes that are right, you know, we got to watch wherever you're stepping because they're right where you can't miss it. This is what the town looks like. Traffic is incredibly crazy. They do have traffic laws that nobody follows. At least everybody does drive on the left side of the street. Motorcycles, I was told that tourists like to get those because you don't have to basically go through any regulations to get them. And so they are very, very popular. There's probably more motorcycles than cars on the street. But, you know, this is a three-lane. They can easily make that into four lanes with motorcycles in between. As long as they have at least an inch clearance, they're saying they're fine. You don't want to drive here. it's actually challenging. This actually shows they actually got sidewalks now. Last year they didn't have sidewalks. If you want to go someplace, you either walked in the grass or you walked on the street, which was an interesting challenge by itself. But since they're still putting it in, when you walk down the sidewalks, you can't do that at night because the drainage ditches used to be here. And there were open drainage ditches. And they're still building them, so every once in a while there's a hole in the sidewalk. And they don't mark them like they do here. So you got to be careful about the fact there's suddenly a hole in the sidewalk that goes down to a very smelly water. And if you decide to dash around it, you have to watch the street to make sure you don't get plowed over by a motorcycle. Because pedestrians do not have it right away there. And there are no police enforcing any of this. So that's what it's like to get around. It takes forever to get around places going there. Also, if you look around the area, if there's an empty lot, it turns into a farm. It is not like here. I mean, you just, you know, between two buildings, there's some grass, farm country. Right in the middle of the city. Even walking down the street, sometimes you just turn a corner and find yourself face to face with a rooster. You just never know. Parts of it are very well off. Some of it is very poor. This is actually a picture right from our hotel room. There was a farm right behind us, but as you can see, there are shanties off on the edge. But then other parts are very nice, very pretty, and they're right next door to each other. So don't want to make it sound like it's really bad, but it's a mixture. Okay, and there are some areas that look very, very nice. You know, you could run across lots of gorgeous flowers that we don't have around here. And this was another one from one of our walks. I think this might have to do with the fire station. I'm not real certain. But I brought this up because, like I said, idols are everywhere. If you cross, this is a bridge across a river. And every bridge has two idols on each side of it. Four idols, actually, on each side, guarding the bridge. Any business you go into, there's idols on either each side of the door or one right in front of it. Even out from our hotel room, if you look down and around the corner, there's a temple right there, and they got sacrifices set up. I mean, like I said, you can't miss it. We're so used to living in a Christian-based nation, idolatry is everywhere here. And it forms the basis of it. You sit down and eat, and suddenly you start to smell something burning, and here goes a lady with an incense going out to go give it out to the idol out in front. So that's the type of situation they're living in. I want you to understand this, because to understand the situation that the Christians are in there, what happened is a little over a year ago, actually almost a year and a half ago, there was a gentleman named Peter who was part of some Protestant religion, and he ran across our website, and he started corresponding with me, and he studied himself literally right out of the denomination that he was in, and he decided he wanted to be just a New Testament Christian. At that time, there was no church on Bali. The nearest one I could find was in Jakarta. That's an hour and a half plane ride. So in other words, if you want to take it, it's saying that it would be equivalent to here saying that the nearest church is in Chicago. And so that's where he wanted. That's where he lived. That's where he worked. But he wanted to become a New Testament Christian. So he got ahead a denominational preacher to baptize him, according to what the scriptures did, and he started working at it. And I corresponded with him on and off, and then last year when I got to go to Singapore, I said, well, since I'm in the neighborhood, it's only 2 hours away by plane, I said, I will drop in and see Peter. We spent 3 days last year, solid study, from 8 o'clock in the morning, basically, until about 11 o'clock at night. 3 days. Peter was so excited that he flew up to Singapore because one of the young men from Singapore came down. You all met him, Ming Wei. He's over here now. He flew down with me, and he got so excited he flew back. He flew to Singapore for his birthday the following week. Ed Brand, who's from Russellville, Alabama, was in town, and Peter went with his sister May. And May decided to become a Christian, was baptized. Peter decided that he would be rebaptized because he wanted to make sure he had done it properly. And then when Peter went back, he was on fire. Since that time that he's been back or in Bali, he has converted his father, his brother Marco, his business partner Marlon. May stopped going. His father's, she's on another island, so she doesn't have any contact, much strong contact. His father's not too strong. It doesn't go very much, but it's basically Marco, Marlon, and Peter now, who are trying to hold a church services and trying to teach the gospel. Just so that you have, so this is the church in Bali. All of them. Gathered together, we were sitting down studying. That was in the hotel in the little restaurant down at the bottom. Just to give you a background: Peter and his siblings. When Peter was young, his mother died. His father decided he couldn't take care of the kids, put them in a orphan's home, and basically left them to fend for themselves in that home. Peter eventually dropped out of school in the ninth grade in order to support his brothers and sisters. He worked for his uncle and a toy store in Cuda for several years. When his uncle decided to sell the business, Peter Marlin, who's not a relative, and a silent partner, I don't know who the silent partner is, bought it. And Peter's been running it ever since for the last 11 years, since he was 18. He's actually quite successful. He's quite good at it. He runs a little hobby toy store. Right now, Peter is going back to school, trying to finish off his high school education. He wants to get his college degree, too. So he's working at that at the same time. So he's running a business on his own, getting a degree, and trying to teach Christianity. And he's in a place where he has no other contacts with other Christians. So one of the things we also did since I was there last time is I got a hold of other preachers. Ed Brand was notified about the group and, of course, then met Peter the very next week. So he's gone down, and Bobby Cannon in some of his tours is also stopping at Valley now, trying to encourage him. Gay and I were able to worship with the Peter, Marlin, and Marco for two Sundays. This is one of the things, that, just to show you the difference. Okay, they're meeting in a hotel, renting a little room in the hotel for the meetings. They know three songs. Ed left them hymns for worship, taught them three songs out of. They don't know how to read music, so they know three songs. So since January of this year, they've been singing the same three songs for every worship service, because that's all they know. I taught them three more songs. So now they got at least a choice. But that's what they're working with. We also had an interesting discussion about the Lord's Supper, because getting matzo bread is not easy in Valley. So we talked about how to make bread for the Lord's Supper, and found out, well, none of them own stoves. So we had to write to some friends and figure out how to make bread for the Lord's Supper when you only have stovetop cooking. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. We had classes every day in the hotel lobby. We did it right out where everybody can see. And Peter and Marlin would come at 7:30 in the morning every single day, and we were able to study for just over an hour until they had to go and open the shop. As soon as the shop closed, they would be back about 4:30, depending on traffic. Sometimes it was later. There was one time the traffic was so bad that it took them until almost 5:30 to get there, and it's not that far. Then we'd study another 2 hours before Peter would have to go off to class for his schooling. And there was at least one night, even after school, Peter came back and studied again. He couldn't do that every night because he had to get some sleep sometime. So we were studying fairly solidly. On the days the shop was closed, we stayed all day together. Sundays, basically, much of Saturdays, too. We spent much more time together. And then when he wasn't in school, we spent more time as well. So we were putting in oodles of hours of Bible study into it. I focused mostly on stories from the Bible because I figured that it would be a little more rememberable if they had characters and people to attach them to. It did work really well. They were fascinated. We did one on Micah and the idolatry and how false religion starts. And they were asking questions all week about that story because they found that fascinating and wanted to know more about it. Just so that you know, we talked about, here's all the topics I wrote down that we talked about. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and the ending of miraculous gifts. Repentance, using Simon as an illustration. Sins that lead to death and those that don't lead to death. We took a look at baptism deeper about the meaning and the purpose, and we used John 3 as a base text. We talked about the Lord's Supper in detail. What happens when you marry somebody of different belief, because that's, you know, there are on an island and mostly people are Hindu. So that's a problem that has come up already. Whether 1 Corinthians 7:12 meant that Paul was uninspired in his statements in the Bible. We got into marriage and divorce, the need for repentance before baptism. What is repentance? We talked about faith using Peter's walk on the water. We talked about the mention of blood moons in Revelation. The day of the Lord, meaning judgment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about faith and confession. We studied Hannah's prayer and the need for persistence in prayer. What's the difference between an elder and a deacon? Supposed contradictions in the Bible. Jehoshaphat and the dangers of making peace with evil. Jabez's prayer and resolving apparent contradictions and digging deeper into the meanings. Uzzah and the need to be obedient to God. Story mentioned of Micah in Judges. The story of David being told no in regards to building the temple and how to handle disappointments. Giving both to the church and to help other people. We talked about bitterness and how it's a root cause of sin. How to get along with people. Samson, how God makes use of even sinners and how a lifelong sinner still can repent. I mean, we covered a broad range. No, it wasn't that we're focused on any one topic. We were talking about everything that they could think of. And they were coming back with all sorts of follow-on questions. It was obvious that, you know, like for instance, what we studied that morning, they were obviously talking about while they were working, because they would come back with more questions. So they were eager. They were really dying to know what the Bible is talking about. As a result, Peter wrote to me twice since we left. He said, "Thank you for the time and effort and sacrifice you made to be with us, and also for all the brethren that support this trip. May our Lord Jesus Christ give you safety on the way back to your home." And he also sent another note. He said, "Hi, Mr. Jeffrey. It's almost a day since we spent without you. I still hear your voice and laughter echoing in my mind. Thank you for the time, effort, and sacrifices you made to be with us. It means a lot for me and Marlon. We were lucky to know you and all the effort that you put in. Lord willing, we can grow to be better Christians. Sorry that we are located so far, very far away. Maybe sometime in the future, Lord willing, we can come to you in the U.S. so we can know how long of a journey you made to be with us." I thought that was a very nice way to end that particular part of the trip. This area just needs desperately Christians. Just people who are familiar with Christianity, because these people are—they're trying really hard, but they're basically starting absolutely from scratch, and that they're, you know, that excited, that on fire, that they've been at it for a year now, and they're still hanging on. Now. Last time I only spent 3 days there. This time I spent a week in that, about 10 days in Bali. So I got to cover 2 Sundays with them. Singapore was where I spent most of the time there. That has changed, but again, let's talk about where it's at. Singapore is this little dot here off the edge of Malaysia. 50 years ago, Malaysia decided they didn't want Singapore and said, "You're on your own." And so it's a little island nation. It's only 276 square miles. So it's a tenth of the size of Bali in land size. There are several small islands off its coast. Again, you know, Nebraska's got 77,000 square miles in it. Douglas County is 340 square miles. Sarpy is 247 square miles, so it's kind of halfway between the size of Sarpy County and Douglas County. That's the whole island. the attitude toward distance reflects the countryside. So going 20 or 30 minutes is thought to be going a really long ways. You know, it's just an impossible long distance. You can get most places in Singapore in under 2 hours. They have a fabulous train system. And you can get anywhere on the island very quickly. It's very warm, very humid. It stays in the upper 80s during the day, maybe 90. Drops down to about upper 70s at night, and that's year-round. The humidity stays about mid-80% year-round. Bali's maybe about 5-10 degrees cooler, but it's, again, very humid place. Right now, they are suffering from haze. This gives you a decent look of it. It's normally clear, but the haze that you see, Indonesia's doing clear-cut farming, and they're burning land, and it's blowing over into over across Singapore. It's been going like, normally it says about a week they have this problem each year. This year it's been at it for a month, and they got another month to go before it clears off. So people are wearing masks. So if you see every once in a while people having masks dangling from it, it's because of the pollution from the haze. Normally, Singapore is the total opposite of Bali. Bali has very short buildings because they're not allowed to build anything taller than a palm tree because it's right in an earthquake region. Singapore, lots of tall buildings. Bali, there's trash everywhere. In Singapore, everything is absolute pristine. They are fanatics about keeping everything pristine in their country. There's only one large city in Singapore. That's all they have room for. There are no farms in Singapore. They don't grow anything. It's the fourth largest financial center in the world. In the top five busiest ports in the world. It's basically a merchant city. It's also a very rich city, very rich population. One out of every six people in Singapore are millionaires. It's got a population of 5 million, but 2 million are not native born. They're just there temporarily, usually for a year, maybe 2 years, and then they go. The population density there is 7,670 people per square mile. That's twice the density of Omaha. There are four languages spoken, English, Mandarin, Chinese, Malaysian, and Tamil. Are the languages that are spoken in that language. Those are all the official languages. So everything is in four languages. Signs are in four languages. Announcements are in four languages. It's one of probably the most culturally diverse countries I've seen. You see people from everywhere. For instance, the people that we were staying with, she has Japanese grandparents. She was born in Mexico. She grew up in the United States. She married a Norwegian and lives in Singapore. Okay, so that's the type of thing you see there. The government is extremely authoritarian. Rules are strictly enforced. Penalties are severe. And yet at the same time, they manage not to be oppressive. You don't hear of or see much crime. Last time I was there, I only saw two beggars. And it was only one night, and they disappeared. And I didn't see any this time. Like I said, city's kept clean. The transportation system is extremely efficient. You don't hear a lot of noise, despite being a huge city, because they don't allow people to honk their horns unless it really is an emergency. Otherwise, you get fined. So it's just imagine New York City totally cleaned up, and that's what Singapore's like. Now the church there are six congregations in that call themselves Churches of Christ in Singapore. The one I visited last time was Northwest, but because of the past, they broke off from the other ones because they don't like controversy, and that's kind of cultural in Singapore too. They do not like controversy. They don't like change. Unfortunately, since I was there last year, they went really strongly into mutual edification. So they're following Carl Ketcherside's teachings. When the more conservative members objected, they basically told them, you're better off going somewhere else. So they basically, the one congregation where the more conservative members were welcomed at, they got kicked out. There are basically now only three brethren there in Singapore of the more conservative mindset. Ming Wei and Deng Xin, who were there, are now, Ming Wei now teaches at Florida College. So he was my main contact in Singapore. But he's not there anymore. The remaining three have gone to the soundest of the liberal ones that are left. So that's where they're at right now. What I did was hold studies with the brethren on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We went from 6 o'clock in the evening to 10 o'clock after work, basically. On Tuesday, they had a woman named Deborah who was visiting from the Seventh-day Adventists. She studied with us. She didn't come back the next day, though. That was another problem we have in Singapore is people tend to be very polite. They'll tell you that they'll try to be there, you know, sometime. They never show up. They won't tell you why. They won't just, like I said, no controversy. So they just, as best they can, they won't tell you no. They just won't show up. On Wednesday, Peter Culpepper stopped by when he arrived in Singapore. He does a lot of business in Singapore. He's from the Washington, D.C. area. And he literally got off the plane and drove straight to the Bible study and joined us, which is a feat by itself if you ever flew the 19 hours or 16 hours it takes to get over there. Turns out Peter, we actually knew Peter. He knows the Sizemores. Because he's from the same congregation, and we actually figured out that we knew Peter 25 years ago. We just forgot. Peter was a treasurer at Annandale when we were there at that time. So we had a lot of background to talk about. On Tuesday, we discussed how to establish biblical authority by harmonizing texts within their context, the need for repentance and need to forgive. Because of our visitor on Tuesday, we got talking about the end of the Old Covenant and Sabbath worship because you brought it up. That also then led to a discussion how Christ's death brought salvation to those under the Old Law as well as under the New Law. So those are topics we did on Tuesday. Wednesday, we talked about how false teaching is promoted, how to spot it, how to counter it. We also talked about the inappropriate uses of church funds, such as supplying food at worship, which is a very common practice in Singapore. That's probably one of the biggest things is that churches, basically, you go there and they supply food during worship. Funding of church camps from the church treasury. We try to make it clear that food and camps aren't wrong if it's done by individuals. It becomes wrong when it's spent with the Lord's money on things that the Lord didn't authorize, and it's wrong to blend entertainment with worship. So we try to get that across real clearly. I also got to study with Lifu. Lifu is a student at the university, same one Ming Wei attended. Ming Wei is the one who got me in contact with him last year. I've been studying with him by Skype every week since then. So we actually got to have face-to-face time. We studied 3.5 hours on Tuesday and 6 hours on Wednesday, in addition to the other studies that I had. So on Tuesday, we talked about 1 and 2 Samuel, which Lifu had just finished reading again, and he had a number of really good questions about the text, really detailed ones. Lifu is also a member of a huge denomination that has 25,000 members. There, it was in the news because the leaders had just been convicted of misusing funds and attempting to hide it from auditors, which got Lifu very upset. So we spent a long time about how do you find a real church and talking about that. We discussed what was wrong with the organization, how those errors led to a lack of checks on the use of funds, We talked about contributions, tithing, how funds were supposed to be used. We talked about the New Testament church, how it was organized, what the roles of elders and deacons and preachers were supposed to be as they played out in the church. We also continue our study in Proverbs. We went through chapter 17. So we did all that. On Tuesday, my brother and his wife, who are down in Huntsville, have been studying with a woman in Singapore via email for a while. And so they asked me to contact her, which Miko Gay and I went to visit her and her mother. Her mother has dementia. She takes care of her full time. But we did get a chance to talk with her for about an hour, hour and a half. And then Miko's plan is to try to set up Bible studies with her. Jordan Park at near Huntsville, where my brother attends, gave me a list of over 230 people in Singapore that they had corresponded with over the years, and I wrote to them and two people in Bali, and I wrote to them as well before I went. I only heard back from one other woman. She was out of the city at the time, so I wasn't able to contact her. So we did as much as we could in a very short period of time. The brethren there need a lot of encouragement. They really badly, again, need somebody stable. Somebody that knows Christianity, knows it well, and can teach it and help practice. They in the past have done really well when brethren have been over there and worked with them, especially in Singapore. But it just doesn't last because they're only there a few years and they're gone. And their influence then disappears within about a year or two. In fact, one of the members, Lillian, she's 80 years old. She flies literally around the world because she's so frustrated with what's in Singapore. She goes elsewhere to go to church. So she just spends most of her time traveling so she can go to churches elsewhere because there's just not a good congregation in Singapore. There is a one man, I've been trying to get them to set up regular Bible studies and invite people to it. Miko's all eager for that. The problem is Alan is the only man, and he's really shy, and he's not very strong in his beliefs. And so it's a difficult situation. If there could be found, you know, some strong families that could stay for a while, that would really work. Getting somebody to preach there would be really good in either place. There's a huge university that attracts students literally from around the world. There are lots of students who are eager to learn about Christianity simply because their home countries, you can't study it. And so here in Singapore, it's free, so there it's... You can actually study about Christianity. There's lots of people that want to, just on that campus. So there's a lot of opportunities in both places. Trying to encourage it as best I can from remote and being able to go over there. And I do appreciate the fact that the congregation here is allowing me to be able to get over there last year and this year to be an encouragement to the brethren there. But I wanted you to know at least what happens and why it was 2 weeks. But you got to pack as much as you can in a little time as you can. This is, again, I got stopped on my slides and I didn't show you the rest of them. That one's the Miko's apartment building. This is a Miko. This is Lifu. This is actually the college dorms. And it's about four or five blocks of the dorms. We were studying in this little cafeteria here the whole time. And this is Janet. She's the one that my brother's been studying with. So that basically concludes that real quick. I do appreciate your patience. And I hope it was at least a little bit of interest, at least let you know what was being done. And they do appreciate it. They do appreciate the prayers on their behalf, the efforts that are being made. They would love to be contacted. If you want email addresses and things like that, let me know. If there's, though right now, we're going to leave an opportunity. If there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren, we leave that open as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of Celebrity.